Hi, this is Take Charge Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Welcome back. Here we are. I have been away for 2 weeks and Carol has been Hello, Carol. What have you been doing?
Hi. I've been visiting at my mother's for a few weeks now.
Oh, that's wonderful. So fortunately, with our mothers, my mother is 99. Carol's mother is 94. And we get to share with them what we do in our life's work and watch them respond, physically respond, as we work with them. My mother, when I arrived, my sister called me. My mother seemed to be physically slowing down. She had a back injury, and they went in and did surgery, and the injury wasn't that bad. And she's never walked right since. Her whole leg went numb. They did some nerve damage when the surgery happened. And that changed her life because she was in the Arthritis Society, used to take three-mile walks with them in support of arthritis research, and everything changed at that point when she couldn't walk right any longer. But she's still physically active. She swam, but not swam, but exercised in the pool. She did lots of water exercises. She had weights for her arms, and she'd sit there with arm weights. And always, she's an inspiration to the kids. She really is. So what happened was when my sister called me, she said, "Mom's really slowing down." Well, she's 99. But she says she's significantly slowing down physically and slightly mentally. My mother is very, very sharp. And her brain is very sharp also. She's also, up to just a year ago, have been on no medicines at all. But let's say what she has been on. She's been on a full component of natural hormones. That is estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, pregnenolone, all of the above, for years, which I prescribed for her. And as a result, I do believe it's kept her skin beautiful. It's kept her mind clear. And also a low-dose thyroid, which I gave her. And that's another story. But that's in her late 60s, early 70s. She started kind of getting confused and not completing her sentences. Her sentence became a paragraph. And without even looking at a blood test, I sent her thyroid, a low-dose thyroid. And she was back again. It was amazing. Now, her blood test did not show that there was a problem with her thyroid. It was all negative. And yet, by giving her a low-dose balanced thyroid, which had a low-dose T3, a low-dose T4, her mind became clear again, and it was really wonderful, and it was noticeable. You know, sometimes I get accused of being a yell leader. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. But you know what? Everybody noticed it. My naysayer brother, that no matter what you do, he doesn't notice. And my sister, who's somewhere in the middle, and my brother, who is also in the middle. But everybody noticed how much better she did. So, let me tell you a quick story, and then I'll tell what happened over the last 2 weeks while we were away. That every time she goes in to get a blood test, the cardiologist, the gerontologist say, listen, if my 23-year-old patients had bloods this good, I would be out of business. And my mother says, well, my daughter gives me pregnenolone, DHEA, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, and thyroid. And they look at the blood test and they say, you don't need any of that. Just stop it. And my mother walks out the door and calls me and says, send me a refill. Because what we're talking about, and we're talking about hormone balancing and brain health also. But so let me go back to my story quickly, because I want to hear about your mother. Your mother did really well also with your guidance. But so my mother, I went there and I was concerned. This time, 99, you know, we had a big birthday party. And I was concerned that maybe she's not going to make it to 100. Well, when I before I went, I kind of studied up on Walter Longo. He's like one of the top experts in gerontology and longevity in the world.
Right.
And so he was talking about a 117-year-old woman that he was supervising and another doctor was. And when she got to be in her late 90s, they had her eat raw meat every day. For the iron, to support the iron, to support the immune system, to support her bones and her strength. So when I went there, what did I do?
Oh, yum, like beef tartare.
Beef tartare. I put some meat in the freezer, and then I took a little razor-sharp cutter, and I sliced it into fine little slices and made a giant salad. Put a little olive oil, a little salt, a little pepper over it, and served it to my mother. Now, we're Italian. We loved it. It's carpaccio, and she loved it. So I did that every day for a few days, and I saw her getting stronger. But simultaneously during that time, I was giving her injections of B12, B-complex, and carnitine. And I also was doing IV lipoic acid and taurine, which is a protocol that I give to Parkinson's patients to support their neuron and give them neuron support and help them detox the brain. It helps pull heavy metals out of the brain while I'm giving a very specific antioxidant to the brain. So all of these things happened at once. But then there's one other thing I did, which I forgot to tell the WBAI audience about. And this had a very nice effect on her. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You never know. But I gave her a peptide shot. And the peptide shot was not for gerontology, not for brain support, but for balancing. It was a complete body balancing peptide, which I can give to young people who are not healthy, not super young. I usually don't use peptides on it unless they're asthmatic. If they're asthmatic, I use peptides, and I've had tremendous results. Or if they have autoimmune, I give young people peptides, and I've had amazing results. But this is a straight balancer. And my mother, it was like she came to life. It was wonderful to see her moving better. She never complains. It's like, Mom, please give me a picture. I need a picture. She'll never complain. Well, come to find out, she said a week into me being there and doing this daily and every other day for her, as controlling her diet, so I'm reducing, I'm actually not reducing calories. I'm increasing fat and limiting the time she's eating, which she was very pro. We were working together. This was not me enforcing this on this poor little lady that had no choices. My mom has choices. She is tough. And so we were working together.
She got gourmet meals from you every day.
Yeah, you talked with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of vegetables, blueberries every night. Every single night with cream on them. So I was using lots of calories, lots of good fats. We naturally seem to move into a more ketogenic diet, increasing her fats, using coconut and coconut oil. I even got a coconut cream that I was able to put over our berries every night. We ate berries every night. And I just watched this woman just blossom. Her cheeks became pink again rather than kind of pale. Her energy was up. She complained. She forgot to take a nap one day. She was too busy. And she always takes a two-hour nap every single day. And she also told me after, well, there's another piece of this. She had swollen ankles when I arrived, and the only way she could keep her ankle swelling down was on a very strong diuretic. It's called Lasix. Now, this is a
very commonly used.
Very commonly used, very strong, and it can be very effective for short-term use, but she was on it at will whenever her ankle swelled. Well, what happened was, I don't say anything about that medicine. Her ankles went down and she didn't, within 3 days. And she did not need the diuretic, which was dehydrating her and making her dizzy. And she also told me, reported to me, which she never reports in the negative, which is amazing. She reported to me that every night she used to wake up in the night with back pain and shoulder pain, and that stopped after 1 week, completely stopped.
Probably dehydration.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be.
And she drinks all the time. She drinks water with lemon in it every day. So what happened was we were working like this today every day, and then when I went to leave, she started to cry, and she said, "You know what, Corinne? I think I'm smarter." That blew me away, because like my mother doesn't really report the positive. She doesn't. She's not a good personal observer. She, you know, of herself and of her symptoms. So I was blown away. And I had to think carefully what I did that created that change. But Carol, let's talk about your mom and what you did. You know, I read a study that older people that have family around that love them live longer. My mom is 99. We sing to her, and she sings to us the song Young at Heart. And there's a part in it that goes, "And if you should survive to 105. So we taught all the kids, 14 grandchildren, that song. And they sang it to her on her 99th birthday. But the part was, "And if you should survive to 105. We didn't sing that part. We screamed it out. And now we're saying, forget it, 107. We're not ready to lose you yet. Carol, tell us about your mom.
Oh, that's so much love. So I'm visiting my mom, and she's beginning to have some issues. She's, just to describe her, at 94 and a half, actually December she'll be 95. And she's able to do everything. She
a youngin.
She personal hygiene, dresses herself, cooks all her meals. shops. We take her shopping and, you know, plans meals. So my gosh, every day she's got to have a plan. And she has an inventory of everything in the freezer. My mom is, I took a little personality kind of thing, and I'm scored very low in this kind of organization thing. My mom is like the opposite. She takes care of all her financial things. She's found mistakes that they make on her taxes at the accountant. She finds mistakes that the bank has made, and you know, balancing her checkbook. It's unbelievable. She doesn't miss a thing. She's also the kind of person when you get something new or you have to, you know, when you get these papers and they're 4 or 5 pages of fine print, well, my mom reads every word.
Wow.
So this is pretty incredible. She's also very meticulous about, she's got to have her meals at a regular time. She's got to go to bed at a regular time, all of that she wants. So she's had some problems, and one of them was an impending carpal tunnel surgery, because she's having neuropathies and numbness. And so what they suggested, the doctor suggested, surgery. And I think there's so many failed carpal tunnel surgeries that nobody ever talks about. And why are we cutting up people at 94? This just doesn't make any sense to me. So I had her, Dr. Jorge Fletcher, talk about boron and as being anti-inflammatory. The countries that have, or the areas on the earth that have the highest amount of boron in their soil, when they have the highest, they have very little arthritis. If they have very low amounts of boron, I guess Jamaica was an example, a really high rate of arthritis. So
wow.
I got her to start taking boron, and it worked. It prevented the surgery. I got her to take larger amounts. This is very non-toxic, as Dr. Fletcher said. And when you go to the health food store, you'll find a 3-milligram capsule. So I'm having her take about 30 milligrams.
10 a day?
So, well, no, we switched to 20 mutine borax, which actually is 99% pure, and it's actually boron. It's you can use that instead. And I can post this on our Facebook page.
Would you please?
Yeah, there's a super article by an Australian about borax and how the use of borax could eliminate a lot of drugs. So it's not very well known. So now she has about a quarter teaspoon of borax in her coffee every morning, completely tasteless. So what's interesting about this, you might, I said my mom tends to be a little bit on the negative side, and this is not as she's gotten old her whole life. And she, now she's become a boron advocate and tells friends.
She's treating now.
Yeah, she's treating. She's become a health coach. So it, about 30 milligrams is a nice dose for that. So people are in pain with arthritis. This is a wonderful essential mineral for controlling inflammation. So that's one thing. Another thing that she's been struggling with, and this is years and years of this pain, lower back pain and sciatica. You know, people, as they age, they have a lot of problems in this area. And so she's not drugged herself. She's been trying to tolerate the pain. But what's happening is she's in pain when she stands or when she walks, but she's pain-free when she sleeps. She's pain-free when she sits. But what does that do? The more you sit and the more you just lie down and have no activity, you had a wonderful, pointed out wonderfully what your mother was doing for activity. My mom, too, used to go to water aerobics for a long, long time before COVID. So
she's
losing that function, and it's a deadly spiral. The more pain you have, the less motion you have, the more your muscles and ligaments kind of freeze in place, and you're locked. So we just embarked on a new therapy. She was asking about a cortisone shot. Now, how many people are being recommended these shots? And I was quite appalled. I like hydrocortisone, but they don't use hydrocortisone. They use a synthetic. And what they proposed for her is doing a cortisone shot into the epidural, that's the spinal fluid, with a dye and x-ray. We're talking about like a surgery here. And then my mom, early in her life, she started reacting to quite a few things. So she's very leery about using drugs because of some earlier reactions. So I said, this is not a good idea. And we also know from experience, even the doctors that advocate using these injections will limit the amount of injections you can have. Even if you get relief, it's temporary. And then after about three or four, then the doctor refuses to continue because that high level of an artificial hydrocortisone actually serves to weaken the tissue further.
It dissolves bone.
Right. The process just makes it worse. So we have now consulted with a chiropractor. Now, she had chiropractic before, kind of a stretching kind of thing. And, you know, sometimes people buy these tilt table things and hang mm-hmm. from it to help back pain.
Yeah.
She got no relief from this, so I give her an A for effort. But this chiropractor explained, so she has in her lower lumbar spine, she has stenosis. That means the vertebrae aren't moving like they should, and there's some disintegration of the disc. This is all extremely, extremely common. And
especially at 94.
Yeah. And so
with limited motion.
Actually, what happens is the limited motion comes from the sacrum and from the hips. And she indeed, on physical exam, was pretty locked up. And he said, what happens is your body compensates and the lower lumbar takes the brunt of that activity, which it was never supposed to do. It was your sacrum. That's the strongest joints that should be handling all this motion. So this forcing of the lumbar to take on this additional burden is what causes this damage and stenosis. So he said, I'm not even going to touch that area. We're going to work on releasing the sacrum and the hips. And so the treatment involved using some sound therapy to break up. Like when you're arthritic, you get increased tissue, or even if you're stagnant. Mm-hmm. You have inflammatory proteins and stuff that just sit there. So a sound therapy, a chiropractic adjustment, actually only on the sacrum and hip, and then some laser therapy for the inflammation. And they're using some lasers that really can penetrate deep into the bone, like 3 or 4 inches. So some of these high-powered lasers. And what he also said is... what you get with a laser is your nerves. You have tons of nerves going into the lumbar and the sacral area that they have a memory, a pain memory. If you don't treat the inflammatory nature of the nerves so they release that memory, your treatment will backslide. Even though you're getting some progress, the nerves need to reestablish themselves in a more healthy fashion. And then kind of a massage, waterbed kind of thing afterwards to give your whole body a massage. So it takes about an hour and a half. And he said like the first treatment would be painful. And like you had a big workout. And indeed she was. But what I also saw right after the first treatment, she stood taller, she walked easier, and she sat taller. Huge, huge difference in her posture. And that's one of the things I look at when I see older people. Their posture is getting destroyed because they have areas of dysfunction. And so their body is trying to adjust for putting less pressure on a painful area or whatever. So if you look at older people, posture is a super big indicator. There's some things going on structurally for a long period of time. That's a problem.
They walk with their head. They lead with their head. Very often you'll see older people, their head is ahead of the rest of their body. And that's a visual sign that they're having back pain and having difficulty.
Right. So I'm giving my mom a product that has stem cells in it. We've talked about stem cells. We had a recent nice interview about all about stem cells. And I'm also giving my mom proteolytic enzymes. And these are enzymes that you take between meals, and it breaks up proteins. And what the proteins that it is helping digest are these immune system inflammatory cytokines. Your body needs them when you have an injured area, but sometimes it stagnates. It builds up, and this is what causes pain. So after her treatment, I'm getting her to use some of that. So as she's breaking down debris released from these treatments, and that should be done all the time anyway, in my opinion. It's a good anti-aging philosophy, is to help control the excessive buildup of inflammatory proteins. So she's using that, and she actually, even though it was painful for her afterwards, it's resolving pretty quickly.
So you know, Walter Longo said something that really kind of rang in my head. It keeps on repeating, and he said, someone said, well, you know, the whole problem with aging has to do with inflammation. And he said, aging causes inflammation, because if there's no disease process, where's the inflammation coming? And he said, aging creates the inflammation because your cells, your organs do not function the same way as they had prior. So the big trick, or the big piece of the puzzle that we have to work with, is reducing aging. But there is something real powerful here. There's a baseline here that Carol and I are both talking about. And there's two pieces of it, actually. The first piece is the fact that I don't care. You're 99, you're 94, you get better with work, with focus, with energy. You have the ability to repair and get better physically and mentally, because the two are so connected. Go on.
Yes, at any age. I'd like to go back to what you did with hormones for your mom.
Let me just say one other piece of this, we'll go to the hormone, because the hormones are so important for the health of the brain. We can't even begin to tell you. So, or we'll try.
Okay.
But the second piece is that they're not drugged. Your mother is on a real mild hypertensive med. My mother was taking the diuretic, which I believe was confusing her. So if you get a person who's not, I've had people come in on 12 different medicines and say they have a stomach ache. They want me to treat their stomach ache. Hello? Doesn't quite work that way. Let's see what we can do to create balance. But so many of our older people are so drugged, and they don't break drugs down the way younger people do. Their livers are not working as effectively. So these drugs become cumulative and they build in their dose much higher than if a young person was taking that same drug at that same dose. But Carol, you wanted to talk about hormones. Let's talk about hormones and brain and energy and focus.
Right. So what do we have right now? We have committees that meet, and they say if you are menopausal and have symptoms, you could use hormones to help you with those symptoms, but you should not use hormones for longer than 5 years. So now we're talking about people who are, let's say, 50, and okay, yeah, they're blessing to use hormones for 5 years, and then what are you supposed to do for
at
the next
60.
And 70 and 80 and 90. I would like to point out that hormones are more than about hot flashes. They are so fundamental to your body's functioning. And I always wish somebody would give me a nursing home to tinker with, because I believe if we had good nutrition, hormones, nutrients that were specific to what those people need, and in some cases I think only thyroid could empty out that nursing home. We are warehousing our elderly, and we're treating them with multiple drugs. Just recently I had two people send me drug profiles for a family member that was in a nursing home. And current, I could hardly believe this. One was my cousin. She's in her late 80s. She broke a bone, and she's still not walking after a few months. But I looked at what they were giving her in the nursing home, and they're giving her drugs that really are designed for her not to absorb anything. There's no way she can heal. She's on about 4 or 5 drugs, just that mess up with your digestion, and all kinds of other things. There's stuff to make you eliminate, and stuff for your stomach, but you're not addressing the indigestion and repairing the body. She should be in full-blown repair in this situation to get that bone healed, and she has a protocol with drugs that will never allow her to heal. And so it's no surprise to me that she's not progressing, and she's not able to walk. So her children are going to try to do something about it. Hopefully they have some success, but she is just going to be warehoused in a nursing home for the rest of her life.
Well,
with no activity but watching TV and reading books.
That's horrible. And that's what happened to my mother. That was the start of her decline, was the fact that she was isolated in COVID. Fortunately, she has a lot of physical independence. She's like your mother. She cooks all her own meals. And my brother was able to bring food over to her. And she has a garden. And they're in pots raised. And she works on her garden. She gives tomatoes away to people in her complex because she grows so many of them, and herbs. She constantly, when we're cooking, we go out to the garden and pick her herbs. So she has activities which give her a lot of joy and keep her busy all day. But if she didn't have those and all she had was TV and reading, wow. What a different woman I would have found with no hormones. You know, we know that estrogen allows plasticity in the brain tissue, which allows more neuron transmission. We know that. We see it. We see people get smarter with hormones. Estrogen is an important one. We know that older people have lots of anxiety. So what with progesterone?
Sleep problems.
And sleep problems.
Sleep. Oh my gosh, everybody's got a sleep problem.
Yeah, progesterone and magnesium. A little magnesium powder before bed, and their bowels move better, which is another big problem in the elderly. But they also sleep better and deeper with less pain. But progesterone is another piece of that. It's a very calming brain support hormone that they're using when people have traumatic brain injuries to help the brain heal. We're also looking at testosterone. We know that when we give testosterone to patients with low testosterone, they have higher levels of IQ tests. They test higher on their IQ tests. They think faster. They're more focused. They have more energy. They have stronger bones. And
well, there's a deadly thing in the elderly, and it's called sarcopenia. And what it means is muscle wasting. And all you have to do is look at an elderly man or woman and see how they have lost muscle, they've lost bone, they're shrinking, they're literally shrinking into themselves. And all of this is hormone dependent, particularly testosterone, as you're talking about right now, DHEA, growth hormone. These are all hormones that allow you to keep your body integrity. So how often do people go to their gerontologist, their regular family doctor, internist, whatever, and does that doctor make note of that patient is steadily and slowly losing the integrity of their body? So it's no surprise that falls are more common with deadly consequences, like my cousin's big break. This is really, really common. Bladder, you can't hold your urine because you can't repair the muscle of your bladder. Urinary incontinence is the number one thing that takes people into a nursing home. It also, I learned this from a nurse practitioner over in Philadelphia that specializes in this area. She said the number one product selling in the pharmacies are incontinence products, the biggest sales. And I was dumbstruck. But I was in the pharmacy the other day. I saw a whole aisle of incontinence things. And as I mentioned before, the incontinence is what takes you to the nursing home. But let me point out, testosterone, as you were just talking about, is vital to those muscles. And the bladder and the urinary tract all have huge amounts of testosterone receptors. Testosterone is badly needed to keep that tissue strong and working. So how many doctors pay attention? You know, when you have an early sign, we make jokes about menopausal or premenopausal women having some urine leakage. You know, if you laugh or you jump, do heavy exercise, lift up something, and there's some leakage. That's at the point we need to start intervening and making sure there's enough testosterone on board so you don't have that end point where you're stuck in a nursing home in a bed and can't do anything but watch TV.
Well, what we're talking about is, guess what? There's certain inevitabilities that happen in our life. One is taxes. Yeah. We're not going to avoid them, so we better prepare for them. But the other is aging. And this statement, anti-aging, really is a misnomer. It's not anti-aging, it's healthy aging. And it doesn't happen when you're 90 and begin. You can start preparing for it now at any age. You prepare for it in young girls by helping them build strong bones. You prepare for it in young men by keeping the pesticides out of their body so they're able to make their own testosterone naturally. You prepare for it by eating quality foods and high antioxidants in keeping inflammation down. So it's not something that is a big surprise. Oh my gosh, it's a big surprise. I'm old.
Oh.
Well, it happened a little faster than I thought. But guess what? It's an inevitability. So we might as well begin now and prepare for it. Next week, we're going to be going over all these new understandings of brain health and how we're going to be able to, with nutrients, with diet, with fasting and calorie shifting, we can protect our brains. We're going to go over lists that you'll be able to make a list of these nutrients that we're going to be telling you. But you don't start, well, you start wherever you're at. You start wherever you're at and you do the best you can. And the earlier you start, you know, it's very hard to say, well, look at this. I prevented a car accident, or I prevented. Well, no one knows that there was going to be a car accident there, you know? Mm-hmm. So how can you take credit for preventing? And that's what insurance policies do. That's what nutrients do. They're prevention, or can be if done correctly. And you can prevent many of these problems from occurring when you approach the inevitable intelligently and focused and work with it. And I see lots of people who exercise very heavily. And guess what? That's a piece of it. It doesn't have to be heavily, but that's a piece of it. But it's one piece. And that's what we're discussing. The nutrients that we did, the dietary change that we did, the hormone balancing, and exercise is an important piece of that. You know what? I think that, you know, they give Benadryl. You know, older people get very itchy skin. Okay, very, very itchy. And it becomes very difficult for them to sleep. They wake up in the middle of the night itching. And it becomes difficult for them to sleep and to function. Okay, so they give Benadryl to older people. So now they sleep, they dehydrate, they wake up a little dizzy, and they don't physically function as well. So what can we do for that would avoid the problems that we're dealing with, to be able to circumvent the need for Benadryl? One, essential fats. So the skin has more natural moisture. Another is working with the liver. So your body is able to process those fats. Mm-hmm. Another is getting off all these allergic foods. And the biggest, and the one that I work with my mom on, and we go back and forth, and every time I see her, it's like we work on this, getting off of wheat. That's so essential. But then,
yep, I did that with my mom too, and she lost about 10 pounds. Just inflammation and water retention from the wheat. But there's another part of it is, our wheat products are so full of glyphosate, which in turn tear up your microbiome, destroy your microbiome. They destroy the cell junctions in your stomach lining. So then partially digested particles get into your bloodstream. And we're creating new diseases we call autoimmunity. Your body's not designed to attack itself. Actually trying to attack these protein fragments that you didn't digest, and that all comes from eating the wheat products. So it's huge. You may not be sensitive to gluten as your main thing, or you could be, but the added burden of glyphosate in the wheat products today are huge, and avoiding this can be very beneficial.
So hear through a few interventions that Carolyn and I just mentioned, we can avoid a big problem, a significant problem that can, if you're dizzy, if you're dehydrated, and you fall, you're going to break a bone. And that's a number one cause of death in the elderly. And it's not necessary.
No, I want to speak about another thing I saw in my cousin's big pile of drugs was a drug for cholesterol.
Oh, my gosh. Now, oh, please.
Why in the world would we be trying to lower the cholesterol in an 86-year-old woman? And there's no evidence that it does anything beneficial for preventing heart attacks or stroke. There just isn't that evidence in women. But we are accepting, again, medicine by committee, often influenced by big pharma, to go ahead and throw these drugs. And now you are a prisoner in an institution, and this is their protocol. And this is absolutely insane. One of the reasons that your cholesterol could be going up after a bone break is your body needs cholesterol to repair.
Exactly.
It's absolutely essential for every cell in your body. You've had an injury, your cholesterol goes up, and your institution, which you rely on for health information and providing health, is actually impeding your healing. It's also impeding your ability to make hormones that we talked about, all the sex hormones, estrogens, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, vitamin D. We can't make bile.
Pregnenolone for the brain.
Pregnenolone for the brain. Huge, huge, huge. So we are deliberately adding a toxic substance to interfere with our metabolism. I was just reading a book. It's written by a PhD, Thomas Lewis, and they're looking at aging markers, how to predict early mortality. And he reemphasized that high cholesterol levels are actually associated with longevity. And our frantic thing, policies to bring this down, actually deter us from good longevity. So we are telling everybody they need protection of cholesterol drugs for their heart, but we're going to make them die sooner because of that. It makes, again, completely irrational. You have only part of the story of how cholesterol really works. So another thing that people need to be really looking at. The other profile that I got was somebody who has some mental disorders, some true mental disorders, but overdrugged with about four or five drugs. And again, a drug for cholesterol. Why in the world is this in there? It's because its protocol has nothing to do with having something that will enhance that individual's health. And that's indeed like what you did with your mother, and what I'm trying to do with various things is to give her tools and information that will be health-giving rather than be somehow sustained and dampening some symptom or another, creating 10 more, that you need this whole polypharmacy. What's happening with the elderly is loading them up with drugs that they have no defense for. People are told, this is, you're getting old, we've got to treat this with this drug and that drug. We're overdosing people because they don't have the ability to metabolize that they had when they were 20. So the toxicity of these drugs build up. There's actually a place, it's called the Beers List, where they actually acknowledge that some drugs should never be given to the elderly, and there's a list of drugs you can look there.
What is it called again?
It's called the Beers List. It's,
B-E-A-R?
It's, no, B-E-E-R, like
uh-huh.
PAPS. Blue Ribbon beer.
Okay, so we can look up the beers list?
Yes.
That would be important to do and compare that with what our families are on.
Right, so doctors should be guided in part by this, but there are probably a lot more drugs that ought to be on it. In fact, most drugs. And what we've been conditioned to think, and we see this on the TV all the time, we've allowed drug advertising. And we always have these wonderful, happy situations.
Beautiful, vibrant people. Yeah, sitting in bathtubs, holding hands. Sounds good. I want to go there.
I know. So that visual is saying, oh, we have the fountain of youth in this drug, right? But you never listen to the side effects, like call your doctor when you have any infection or death has occurred and yada, yada. We have those little warnings go right on by, and we forget that drugs are not part of the normal human body functioning. They are all designed to interfere with something. So drugs in general are a toxic substance, and they don't produce side effects. They produce effects. All of these are predictable when you put a toxin in your body. And as we're talking, our excretory organs, our kidneys, our livers, as Corinne so wonderfully said, support the liver detoxification in the elderly, and you'll have a better outcome. We don't do that. We are burdening the elderly who are already impaired with toxic substances that they're trying to deal with. So it's no wonder there's confusion and we get lack of mental acuity and pain and sleep disturbances. We should not be surprised, because this is a deliberate poisoning by using drugs instead of doing life-enhancing things. I'll say for blood pressure, I really think that David Brownstein has written about this. Blood pressure needs to be higher in the elderly, but we are, because they really do have some stiffening of their arteries.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so they actually do need a higher blood pressure to get the blood to the little capillaries. And so what are we doing? We are holding them to a younger person's standard as optimal, and we're doing everything we can with drugs to put them down there when actually they need a higher blood pressure. And one very popular class of drugs are calcium channel blockers. Well, what's the body's natural calcium channel blocker? Why don't we find out?
And that's magnesium, and we're nationally deficient in it.
Right.
So by increasing the magnesium, we might potentially have the ability to create our own natural calcium channel blocker, but in a healthful way and by balancing a deficiency. But I have a quick caveat, Carol. You were on a roll. There was no way I was going to interrupt you. It was beautiful. I loved it. But I have a quick caveat that I want to say is that, you know, with all these pads that people are wearing for urinary incontinence, it's very, very common to have a urinary tract infection, because the urine sits there right next to the urethra in males and females until they're able to change. Well, it's interesting, because in a young person, if they have a urinary tract infection, they're doubled over in screaming pain. They know instantly, I've got a urinary tract infection. With an older person, that's not the case. What happens? When they get a urinary tract infection, they get confused. They don't sleep well. They lose even more control of their urine. And so very often when that happens, they're given drugs for that for their brain when they should have been checked for a urinary tract infection, which we know is very, very common in the elderly because of the fact that they have less urinary control. So, Carol, I think we went through a heck of a lot. My goodness. And we didn't think we were going to have enough to talk about. But, boy, when we got started, we had lots. Because there's a couple reasons. This touches all of us. It touches our mothers, but it touches us also. Because we're talking about prevention. We're talking about we're talking about nutrients. We're talking about lifestyle. We're talking about motion and exercise. We're talking about hormones. Who doesn't this touch?
Everybody. And one of the things I would like to end on is a guiding philosophy of mine.
Please.
Everything is able to be improved until you're actually dead. So
okie dokie.
It's possible to reverse that trend and go in the other direction. So never give up on what could be done or helped. And many of the tools are actually quite simple and easy to get.
Thank you so much for your time and sharing it with us. We know you got lots of things you could be doing, but you're here sharing this time with us, and we love it. So we'll be back next week, and thank you again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA, CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is fornarihealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me. Left Hook from Redding, California. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.